So because this is a historic occasion for the statistics section, and because a call was put out for historical papers, and because it seemed to me that some of the people in the audience might be younger than I am, it looks like almost everybody is, I thought it would be potentially fun to just riff through the history of the simplest problem in statistics, which is how to study dichotomies, and the extension of that categorical data analysis. And I'm going to just do a really quick riff through in 20 minutes and talk about what's happened. And it will give you all who are younger a feeling of the exponential curve and the metaphors of the explosion of knowledge and all these things that you hear about as cliches, and how this has really played out in statistics in the last 100 years. All the mistakes on my slides, the omissions, the controversies, and so on, have nothing to do with any conflicts of interest, because all these arguments are old, and everything that's a mistake and might look like a conflict of interest is due to forgetfulness and the need to get my slides in last week instead of next year. This is not my last word on the subject. I'd like you all to start by a bit of active learning and read this quote that appeared in Goodman and Kruskal's first paper on of their four-part series on association years ago. So this is where things started out, a little more than 100 years ago. The ability to articulate concepts of relationships among categorical data was somewhat limited. Now, it actually wasn't quite as bad as this, and this is really pretty clear if you read it and parse the English. But there were some things, there were some methods for categorical data which were pretty well established at that time. So let me just review what was available before we go into the last 100 years. British demographers and statisticians, beginning with Nelson in 1844 through William Farr, William Farr followed John Snow in investigating the cholera outbreaks in London, and through William Ogle in 1883, had developed the concepts of epidemiologic standardization of rates, what we think of as a direct and indirect rate adjustment. This was well established in the 19th century. Probit analysis, or what we now call probit analysis, had actually been pretty well developed by a German psychophysiologist named Gustav Fechner, who was interested in, and he was assisted by Mobius strip. If you think of experiments in which you hand people different weights and you say which is heavier, and are interested in whether people can make the paired choice of detecting which is heavier, that's a dichotomy, and Fechner was interested in experiments like that, which smells sweeter, which weighs more, and so on, and looking at the way in which responses, sensitivity to the difference, varied with the difference. He developed models to predict the proportion of people identifying the heavier or the sweeter choice or whatever with the distance and some metric between them, and these were in essence probit models. Then about 100 years ago, Pearson developed the chi-square statistic for goodness of fit in 1900, and in 1904, as something of an application, in essence, developed the test for independence in 2x2 contingency tables. Pearson also developed measures of association, like the tetrachoric correlation coefficient, and one of his students, Ewell, developed Ewell's Q, the odd, what can be written as the odds ratio minus 1 over the odds ratio plus 1. And Pearson proposed something called the contingency coefficient, which was his chi-square statistic divided by itself plus n as a measure of association for an R by C table. And just to set your time frame correctly and calibrate it, 1908 was the development, 100 years ago exactly, was the development of Student's T-test, or Gossett's T-test, which now is commemorated by a plaque in the Guinness Brewery in Dublin. It's always fun in a historical talk to show pictures, so I'll show just a few pictures. I think for those of you who have popular associations, I look at these pictures and I think of the guy, Fechner on the left, is sort of looking like one of the first Doctor Who's, and Pearson is looking like my image of Holmes, and you are looking like my image of Watson. The first signal event that I think occurred in historical development of categorical data analysis was the decoupling of the ideas of counts from continua. Pearson basically developed the chi-square goodness of fit test to try to fit distributional models for continuous data using his system, the Pearson system of continuous probability distributions, and to choose among those. And he believed that an underlying continuum was essential to the notion of the statistical study of counts. So his chi-square test, was based on continuous differentiating distributions for continuous variables. And he argued, in essence, that the distribution of chi-square was invariant to parameter estimation from that continuum, and that, in fact, if you were going to study counts, you really needed to presuppose a latent continuum underneath them in some way. His former student, Ewell, disagreed with him, and with number two in my listing there, and Fisher, R.A. Fisher, disagreed strongly with number three. As an example of the degree of, shall we say, controversy about these things, you might read the quote, or I'll read you the quote from Pearson on his student Ewell. He said, if Mr. Ewell's views are accepted, the sky will fall. Irreparable damage will be done to the growth of modern statistical theory. Mr. Ewell has gone astray at every stage in his treatment of association, etc., etc. Fisher and Pearson engaged in disputes about the number of degrees of freedom for chi-square testing and other things at this level of vituperation. Ewell and Fisher eventually won out. In the early 1920s, in the 1920s and 1930s actually, the whole machinery of statistical inference was formalized. I'm going to point out as I go along the way, the degree to which important public health studies contributed to the motivation and development of many of the crucial techniques. But between the public health work in the 1800s and the early 1950s, public health was not the major player, was not a major player in the development of categorical data or statistical methodology in general, but there was a tremendous developments that later converged and converged with public health, with the public health enterprise to motivate the further development in this area. But in the 1920s and 30s, Fisher, as you know, contributed the infrastructure for modern applied statistics, and Neyman and Pearson contributed much of the infrastructure for theoretical statistics, and Fisher distinguished clearly between population and sample, clarified the principles of estimation, the distribution of an estimator, variability of an estimator, consistency, efficiency, the idea of maximum likelihood estimation and Fisher information. In the late 1920s, Neyman and Pearson developed the idea of a formal decision theoretic sort of type hypothesis testing, meaning testing against a specific alternative, types 1 and 2 error, statistical power, the likelihood ratio test, Neyman and Pearson fundamental lemma. With respect to chi-square, Fisher in 1924, long, long, long time ago, proposed basically representing the probabilities of a distribution dichotomy or a polychotomy with as functions pi functions of an underlying parameter vector theta, and proposed a test statistic based on minimizing his test form of test statistic, the Pearson chi-square, with respect to choices of the of theta, and so estimating theta by the theta which minimized that statistic, and a test based on the minimum value of the statistic obtained. Neyman proposed a modification of that in which he changed the denominator pi's from the pi's under the assumed model to the empirical pi's, or the p's. Is there a pointer up here? I guess there is. I guess there is not. Nope, I should have brought one. Okay. But so these were general methods for estimation and model fitting for contingency tables, but there was no computational machinery or no technology available to implement these widely. These are my last pictures, but here's Fisher, Neyman, and Pearson. For those of you who haven't seen pictures of these folks before, they did a lot. They do a lot. By the mid-1930s, Fisher's work in applied statistics led to a general machinery for model fitting and assessment for continuous data in his landmark books on statistical methods for research workers and design of experiments. Fisher developed his exact test for 2x2 tables, and the idea underneath that of randomization-based inference, which has had a resurgence in the last 25 years and is increasingly important. The ideas of formal experimental design, orthogonal analysis of variance, analysis of covariance were developed, and Yates's algorithms for analysis of balanced factorial designs by orthogonal interactions had been published. And so there was all this machinery developed very, very rapidly for the analysis of continuous data. But then the question arises, well, what if your outcomes are counts? You have the same questions of counts or related questions of counts as you have for continua. What do you do? How can you implement this kind of machinery? And this became a 30-year problem to solve. It was really a difficult problem to solve, although it appears simple in retrospect. The difficulty was that there's complexity in this problem from two sources. Interaction has two meanings in this context. context. There's the meaning of association and correlation, and there's the meaning of non-additivity in prediction. And if you look at a 2x2 contingency table, we now accept that independence is perhaps best represented in a log linear context as the log of the cross product ratio, and I missed the logarithm on the slide, it should be zero. But we also recognize that the equivalent definition of independence is that the expected values can be represented as the product of the margins. And the question is, this is simple for 2x2 tables, but it's not simple to decide how to generalize it. If you try to generalize both at the same time, you end up with contradictions. Nothing works really well. And in the paper by Bartlett in 1935, who really proposed the idea of interactions that we now use, that's widely accepted, Bartlett proposed a second-order or three-way interaction according to the modern definition that's typically used in log-linear modeling, but he used a marginal definition for first-order or two-way interaction, the same three-way table. And these, if you parse them out, are not compatible. And this is one reason that Simpson, this is one way of looking at Simpson's paradox, the paradox that you can have confounder-adjusted relations, associations in one direction and unadjusted associations in the opposite direction. So how does one model contingency tables? Well, nowadays we think predominantly of log linear and logistic models, and these are basically an application of Yates's algorithms to the logarithms of cell counts as represented here with indicator variables and Kronecker products. And this kind of formulation generates hierarchical analysis of variance log linear models, which are widely adaptable across distributions and objectives, including distributions for counts, multinomial distributions of counts. What about regression? That's sort of a track of the development of the predecessor methods for analysis of variance. What about regression? Well, regression, you recall, was in essence begun in the 19th century by Fechner and his students in psychometrics. And Thompson and Thurston and others extensively developed this in the first half of the 20th century. But biometricians didn't take them up at first. But later, a little bit later in the 30s, Gaddam and Chester Bliss and others, Chester Bliss was one of the founders of the Biometric Society with Fisher, developed the approach. It was developed for biological potency estimation from animal data. It was developed for bioassay from quantal bioassay, dichotomous responses. You basically give an animal different doses of some drug and you see whether they die or not, or you see whether they exhibit some symptom. And the key concept of that was the tolerance distribution of doses. The idea that there's a dichotomy is dependent on a tolerance distribution of doses. And now we move to basically the convergence of these various threads of research in what I'm calling here a logistic synthesis that really propelled us into the modern era in categorical data analysis. So if you consider the corresponding quantiles from some sort of a standardized tolerance distribution, whether it's the logistic distribution or the normal distribution as in probit analysis, regressed on a dose transform like the log of a dose by iteratively reweighted least squares, with the slopes showing the dose response and the separation of two curves from different batches of a bioassay stimulus as showing batch potency effects. The logistic CDF substituted for the Gaussian, which was recommended by Joe Berkson, who was a biostatistician who founded biostatistics at the Mayo Clinic, recommended by Berkson in 1944, eases the computations enormously. Makes the computations non-iterative. The differences in quantiles in this context become log odds ratios. And this proposal was made in the 40s to simplify computation, but also in the 40s, some general methods for evaluating and considering models and comparisons between models that also reduced computation relative to the likelihood ratio testing were developed by Wald through the Wald test, the transactions of the American Mathematical Society in 43, and the proposals of the score or Lagrangian multiplier test by Rao in 1947, and the proposal of general best asymptotically normal estimation by Neyman in 1949, which spins off in the first Berkeley Symposium from a generalization of the Neyman chi-square statistic that he first proposed in 1929. 20 years earlier, linearizes the computations for this chi-square model fitting and simplifies things greatly. So that takes us through the first half of the 20th century. And now all these things come together in an explosion of developments. And I apologize for the, I apologize for the last slide. I left off by accident a series of papers done at the U.S. Census Bureau on iterative proportional fitting, which was the foundation for decades for fitting log-linear models by Albadri and Stefan and Deming and Stefan at the Census Bureau. So in the 1950s, we now come into the public health era, where public health becomes incredibly important in stimulating the merger of a variety of these threads of research in the development of categorical data analysis and epidemiology in public health. So Jerome Cornfield, at NCI, suggested the use of the odds ratio as a risk ratio or an estimator for cancer case control studies for cancer, for causes of cancer, cigarette smoking and other causes of cancer. Dyke and Patterson fit Yates's ANOVA type LOGIT models, the dichotomous data about the knowledge of cancer in multi-way contingency tables. Cochrane Armitage developed independently the Cochrane Armitage trend test, which is a score and can be considered as both a score statistic and a wall statistic from different points of view based on these general approaches developed just a few years earlier. Stewart developed a test of homogeneity for matched proportions. David Cox proposed the idea of general multiple logistic regression and binary time series models. Mantell and Hensel developed their test for dichotomous match case control data, also looking at cancer case control studies, motivated by the epidemiological needs at the time. And people began applying these also to the Framingham Heart Study, which was begun in 1949 and generated a cohort study data that could be basically evaluated by many of these same models, as was discovered throughout the 50s and 60s. Goodman and Kruskal initiated their landmark series on measures of association, which I quoted from the quote at the beginning of the talk. Cornfield applied logistic regression models to study Framingham coronary heart disease risk, and noted that conditionally equivariant Gaussian predictors imply that a logistic regression model is the right model to analyze dichotomies coming off continua. Mantell-Hensel test was extended by Mantell. M.H. Birch wrote a seminal paper basically extending Bartlett's paper of 1935 and clarifying relationships of association in a log-linear context. And Leo Goodman in the social sciences and Fred Mosteller, Yvonne Bishop, Steve Feinberg, Paul Holland, and colleagues at Harvard extensively developed log-linear modeling, largely motivated by a study called the National Halothane Study, which is less famous than the Framingham Heart Study or than many of the cancer case control studies, such as Dahl and Hills, but had made equal contributions to statistics. This was a medical study in the sense that it was a study about what was thought to be a danger from a widely used anesthetic in surgery. But the anesthetic was so widely used that this was, in essence, a public health problem, and it required huge statistical database accumulation and extensive modeling to actually find out in the end that this particular anesthetic, halothane, was probably a little bit safer than some of the others that were in use at the time. Walker and Duncan produced the first widely available logistic regression analysis program that made these kinds of models available. And then Bopcar, Grizzlestarmer, and Cook, and basically building on work by S.N. Roy and many of his students in the 1950s that talked about multivariate analysis concepts, exported multivariate analysis concepts for continuous data to categorical data examples, showed how Neyman chi-squares and weighted least squares and wall statistics all came together in what were, in essence, the solutions of linear equations to solve a huge variety of problems in categorical data. And here are some of them, and I'm not going to go through it. Binomial mixed models, contingency tables with missing data, survival analysis and partial likelihood were proposed. Cox proposed, of course, the model we all use and the formulation of it that we all see now, but implicitly this was present in another paper in the weighted least squares area for categorical data at the same time. Generalized linear models and quasi-likelihood in 1972 and 74. Contingency tables for complex survey designs and adjustments of variance appropriate to those survey designs. Extremely critically important in the development and dissemination of these methods were a book by Joe Fleiss, Statistical Methods for Rates and Proportions, which was the first really good compilation of widely used statistical methods for discrete data in public health that was used by the entire field of public health. Epidemiology, public health workers in the field everywhere use this book. Bishop Feinberg and Holland's classical work on discrete multivariate analysis. Log-linear models were used for years without being able to estimate the variability of their estimates, without being able to give error bars for any of the parameters of log-linear models. So this problem was worked out. Dempster, Laird, and Rubin proposed the EML, described the EML algorithm, which was actually in use in a variety of areas, but put it together. The EM algorithm is, of course, iterative proportional fitting, which is one implementation of it is iterative proportional fitting, but they generalized it. Exact conditional tests were developed by many workers, Alan Agresti, Dennis Wackerly at Florida. Cochran-Mantel-Hensel tests were vastly generalized by folks at Michigan and North Carolina. Gokhale and Kullback proposed a whole area of minimum discrimination information analysis, which coincides with maximum likelihood for some problems but does not for others. Cox proposed conditionalistic logistic regression. Breslau and Day published their landmark works on logistic regression and other methods of analysis in cancer studies, motivated again by the epidemiologic needs of the study of worldwide cancer statistics. Steve Feinberg and Forthover and Leonard and Kleinbaum, Cooper, and Morgenstern published books that looked at categorical data, synthesized work on categorical, and made more rigorous work on categorical data done by others, all basically at the same time, and formulated a foundation for epidemiologic analysis that still is probably the strongest foundation that we have. Very, very quickly, because I'm running out of time here, am I okay? A few more minutes? Thank you. Okay. Alan Agresti's work on and colleagues and others work on ordinal association measures and models. I've left off of here McCullough's paper in 1980 on the proportional odds model. That should certainly be on here, as should many others. Mixed logistic models were proposed in the 70s by some of us at North Carolina, but the work on mixed logistic regression, mixed models for dichotomies, really took off in the 1980s with work at Harvard by Laird, Ware, and their students. And these were developed in some of the references that I've given here. The whole idea of minimum chi-square, minimum Neyman chi-square, maximum likelihood, this cluster of different ways of looking at general systems of estimation from model fitting were basically coalesced into the idea of power divergence methods that were explored by Timothy Reed and Noel Cressy in Reed's dissertation and their subsequent book, Goodness of Fit Statistics for Discrete Multivariate Data. For discrete multivariate data, and this made contributions to the study of asymptotics and sparse contingency tables. McCullough and Nelder published their landmark book in their second edition on generalized linear models. Maeda and colleagues at Harvard developed network algorithms for the computational solution of complex randomization, permutation, combinational problems in analyses and randomization analyses of contingency tables and related modeling, including logistic regression models, including conditional logistic regression models. The book was published that I was a part of, basically summarizing aspects of many of these different methods. And then in 1986, basically the foundations of modern longitudinal data analysis were published when Lang and Ziegler proposed generalized estimating equations. They had the foresight to realize, in fact, that we should stop worrying about getting exact distributions right and use moments to solve problems that we could not solve before, because we were trying so hard to model too intensively. And this, of course, developed GEE, further developments of GEE by Liang. Clayton and Kaldor in 1987 basically initiated a large field of spatial modeling, along with the work of Cressy, based on attempts to analysis of lip cancer data in Scotland. That was their primary example. And again, important methodological developments, these are local dependence models and geospatial statistics, came out of what? Came out of the need to properly analyze and represent variation in public health data. Alan Agresti continued work on exact order-based inference and published his wonderful, now basically the standard compendium text in 1990, updated in 2002. GEE adapted for categorical data for dichotomies. It was considered by Prentice and Zhao and Ziegerlang and Kakish in 1992. Another book up here, this enormously influential book, Categorical Data Analysis Using the SAS System, had nothing new in it, but basically it was like Fleiss's book in 1973, made these techniques widely available to a large audience that wasn't using them, aggressively continued development in small sample and unconditional inference. And finally, I've put a slew of references down here, but I could have filled up several more slides, and I basically ran out of steam here. I just stopped because I knew I couldn't get through any more than this. But I put down a cluster of important references for generalized linear and nonlinear mixed and multi-level models that are now used for categorical data. And, you know, we're almost back now where we started 100 years ago. Because we started 100 years ago, and I'll close with just a couple of comments. We started 100 years ago with Carl Pearson looking at chi-square tests to try to fit distributions for underlying latent variables or measured variables using different continuous models. We then spent years getting away from that to think about analyzing counts. And we now are coming back to extremely complex models in which we analyze counts, whether we're Bayesians or classicists. And I should have had up here, for instance, the development of wind bugs as another major advance in categorical data analysis. There's lots of things that have been left, sort of the whole Bayesian perspective is left out of this. But we're now analyzing categorical data at multiple levels using mixed modeling as appropriate to get closer and closer to inferences that are applicable to individuals or small groups of individuals instead of applicable to large public health populations. And we think that will lead us closer and closer, if we get the models right, to mechanism, which of course is the goal of all epidemiologic analysis. But it's taking us back to where we began. We began with underlying continua, and we're continuing with underlying continua, but with multiple levels of complexity that allow us to be much more faithful to the data. And the final remark I want to make is that my career was spent largely, now I'm certainly an applied statistician, but my career was spent in categorical data analysis. When categorical data analysis is a specialty, the metaphor of knowledge explosion, I think, applies here, though, because what happens when knowledge, when anything explodes, it eventually dissipates. Fireworks explode and they sort of disappear and fall to the ground. And that is, in a certain sense, what's happened to my field. What you can see at the bottom here, and what you can see in this whole tendency, is the field of categorical data analysis, which is very special, had very special considerations, had issues that required specialization, has now more or less been absorbed entirely, or is being absorbed entirely, in generalized modeling technologies for which the discrete distributions are simply special cases. Generalized estimating equations, or any generalized linear mixed model, nonlinear mixed models. So nonlinear analysis and modeling of any empirical distribution, categorical or continuous, all these are now being subsumed in the same general area. And let me stop there and thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Peter. Wonderful overview of the biostatistical methods that we've come to grow in love and use on a daily basis. We'll have hopefully some time for questions for Dr. Emery at the end of the session. And by the way, in my oversight, Peter is at the Cleveland Clinic at the Case Western Reserve University. And so brings us to our last presenter for the day. Another overview. This is going to be a real interesting presentation as well, and one along the lines of what Peter just presented. But it takes us, for those of us who remember the punch cards, and maybe even a little bit earlier than that, it takes us along the continuum of and joint evolution of regression methods and computing technology in public health. And so what Blake Talbot's going to do today is going to describe the history of computing technology as it relates to the application of regression methods. And, of course, all of the regression methods and other methods that Peter told us about would be very difficult, if not impossible in some cases, to actually utilize on a regular basis without the computing technology that Blake's going to tell us about today. Mr. Talbot comes from the College of Public Health at the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences, and welcome, and we're looking forward to your presentation.